All right, good evening, everyone. My name is Courtney Gallagher, and I'm an associate and landscape architect with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're the civil engineering and landscape architecture firm working with Brandon Shores Investment LC, who is the developer, to help develop this subject property. I'm joined this evening by Jim Kraft and Liz Williams with Elm Street Development and Brandon Shores Investment LC. Tonight, we are here specifically to discuss the modification requests associated with the Brandon Shores development. I will go through a brief presentation, and then I'll give the developers an opportunity to speak before I open it to the audience for question and answer. As I stated a few moments ago, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety for inclusion on the Anne Arundel County Community Meeting website. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about that at the end of the presentation. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Code Section 17-2-107, which states that a community meeting must be held for modification requests to permit direct impacts to environmentally sensitive areas. The Brandon Shores development includes modification requests for impacts to floodplains, wetlands and wetland buffers, and streams and stream buffers, which I will discuss in more detail shortly. The purpose of this meeting is to present information regarding those modification requests, including any required and proposed mitigation, and to give the community an opportunity to ask questions and provide comments. I'd like to be clear that this meeting is not a required pre-submittal or post-submittal community meeting during which detailed information regarding the development submittal would be discussed. This project is not required to hold a pre- or post-submittal community meeting. The purpose of tonight's meeting is only to discuss the required modification requests to environmentally sensitive areas. With that, I will start first with a brief kind of overview of the site. The property encompasses 324 acres. It's bound here in a white line. Located in the south, on the southeast side of the Fort Smallwood Road and Kembo Road intersection. Property is bound by Fort Smallwood Road to the west, Kembo Road and the Marley Neck Industrial Park to the north, undeveloped property in the Patapsco River to the east, and the Brandon Shores Power Plant to the south.
It's not undeveloped, it's a conservation area.
Undeveloped meaning there's no homes or buildings proposed there. Thank you. And I would ask, I appreciate your comments, if you could hold your comments and questions to the end so I can get through the required information, everyone will have a chance to speak. Thank you. The Brandon Shores property was rezoned from heavy industrial zone W3 to a less intensive mixed-use zone MXDN, which is a mixed-use neighborhood zone, as part of the Anne Arundel County Regional Plan and Comprehensive Zoning Process in June of 2025. As outlined in the Region 1 plan, mixed-use development in this location will provide for a wide range of additional housing types, economic growth, and revitalization along the Fort Smallwood-Marley Neck corridor. This project is located within a priority funding area and an critical economic targeted growth area. The Brandon Shores mixed-use project is comprised of both residential and commercial retail uses. The residential uses will include a diverse range of housing products, while commercial and retail uses will deliver a variety of consumer amenities for the community. It should be noted that the development proposal utilizes less than 40% of the total allowable density, which is up to 4,864 units, 40% of that total. Properties abutting the project to the north and the south have previously been developed with equal or more intense uses. This site includes two existing drainage systems here and here that are comprised of wetlands, wetland buffers, streams, stream buffers, and an anticipated 100-year floodplain. These environmental features divide the site into five developable areas, one area being here, another here, a large one here in the center of the site, a small pod here, and then a very small pod here by the railroad. Due to the location and configuration of these existing drainage systems, it is not feasible to provide infrastructure required to serve developable areas without minor impacts to these environmental features. The development proposal reflects a design approach that prioritizes avoidance and minimization to impacts to environmentally sensitive area resources. All of the proposed impacts are the minimum necessary to reasonably develop the site in accordance with the property's mixed-use zoning. So with that, I will review the proposed impacts and modification requests. The first is relative to the 100-year floodplain. A request, a modification request to Article 16-2-202B is being proposed to allow up to a total of 18,500 square feet of disturbance to a 100-year floodplain. There are two areas with proposed impacts to the floodplain. The first impact here is at a proposed road crossing that provides access to the rear of the site. The proposed disturbance is necessary to provide vehicular and pedestrian access as well as public water service to this back portion of the property. Location of these improvements in this crossing aligns with an existing road crossing that provides access through the site today and ultimately to the waterfront. The second impact to the floodplain is to connect sewer service from the northwest corner of the site to the north central portion of the site via a 8-inch public gravity sewer main. For reference, the proposed impacts to the 100-year floodplain represent approximately 1% of the total anticipated floodplain on site. The next set of impacts are to streams and stream buffers. A modification request to Article 17-6-403 is being submitted to allow up to 200 linear feet and up to 2,300 square feet of disturbance to a stream and up to 36,600 square feet of disturbance to a stream buffer. There are two areas of stream and or stream buffer disturbance. The first area is the same road crossing I just discussed relative to the floodplain disturbance. This impact includes both stream and stream buffer disturbance. The second area includes only impacts to a stream buffer and is to provide an adequate outfall for one of the proposed stormwater management ponds, which provides peak management for the development. Due to the existing grades, there is insufficient room to provide an adequate and stable outfall for this stormwater management pond here without impacting the adjacent buffer. For reference, X represent less than 5% of the total stream linear footage on site. Final impacts I'll discuss, environmental impacts, are to the wetland and wetland buffers. The modification request to Article 17-6-402 is being submitted to allow up to 46,600 square feet of wetland disturbance and up to 71,300 square feet of wetland buffer disturbance. There are 10 total areas of proposed wetland and or wetland buffer disturbance. The first area is that same road crossing I previously discussed, and this impact here includes both wetland and wetland buffer disturbance. Is that initial utility crossing I discussed with the floodplain here. And this includes only temporary wetland and or wetland buffer disturbance. The area is located here to provide water and sewer service to the development pod located here along Fort Smallwood Road. The water and sewer service connects through to this development pod and then through the remainder of the development. Fourth disturbance area is to a wetland buffer only, and it's with here along Kembo Road. The disturbance is actually within the existing right-of-way for Kembo Road, and it's to allow construction of a 5-foot wide sidewalk, again, within that existing right-of-way, which will provide pedestrian connection from this development area through to the sidewalk there, so they'll connect to it. Fifth disturbance is a wetland buffer only that will provide provide a filling basin and storm drain outfall here. This are ahead of that drainage system. The sixth through tenth areas of disturbance are for 5 isolated non-tidal wetlands and their associated buffers that are located within the most developable portions of the site. Those there are 3 here. 1 here and 1 here. The impacted wetlands and wetland buffers are of poor quality and very little biological value. A field review was conducted with the Maryland Department of Environment, whereby the isolated wetland delineation was confirmed and no objections offered to the proposed development. As a result, a joint permit application is being processed for approval of those proposed impacts. Mitigation for the proposed disturbances to wetlands and wetland buffers will be provided via on-site native tree plantings when feasible and or off-site native tree plantings. It should be noted that a significant portion of the proposed disturbances at the proposed utility crossings and vehicular crossing will are temporary disturbances and will be returned to a natural condition following construction. So this concludes my explanation of the proposed modifications to disturb the environmentally sensitive features. There's one other modification request I'd like to discuss with you all this evening, and that is to allow forest clearing as required by the Anne Arundel County Subdivision Code. A modification request to Article 17-6-303B, including subsections 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7, is being submitted to allow clearing in sensitive areas such as wetlands, wetland buffers, streams, stream buffers, and floodplain, mostly in the areas that I just outlined for you. Clearing in priority retention areas, specifically contiguous forests, next the largest undeveloped or most vegetative tracts of land within and adjacent to the site, clearing of specimen trees, and clearing of forests at least 35 feet wide with a total area of at least 10,000 square feet, and clearing clearing greater than 75 acres of contiguous forests that could include potential FIDS habitat. FIDS is forest interior dwelling species. In order to develop the property consistent with its mixed-use zoning while minimizing impacts to environmental features, it is anticipated 190.7 acres of forest will be cleared, including up to 19 specimen trees. It is important to note that the applicant is targeting to retain roughly 20% of the existing forest, which exceeds the minimum requirement by 5% or roughly 10 acres. Additionally, 206 acres of the site is planned as open area, which is more than 4 times the 48-acre county requirement. Mitigation for clearing is planned to be provided by a combination of on-site reforestation and off-site reforestation and mitigation. Mitigation for removal of the proposed specimen trees will be provided via additional on-site reforestation and or off-site reforestation. So that concludes my discussion of all of the modification requests. I'm going to go over a couple of next steps related to this community meeting before turning it over to Jim and or Liz to say a little bit more. So as I stated at the beginning, this community meeting is being recorded, and this recording will be submitted to Anne Arundel County tomorrow to be posted on their community meeting website. Once that meeting has been uploaded tomorrow, that will begin a 14-day comment period where people can review the recording and provide additional comments or questions. Comments can be sent to communitymeetingcomments@aacounty.org, and any emails should reference Brandon Shores. If you need that address again, you can come see me after the meeting. I'd be happy to provide it. Once the comment period is closed after those 14 days, the development team will prepare meeting minutes of tonight's meeting, compile any comments that were received during that comment period, as well as any responses. Once that meeting minute package will then be distributed to anyone who is in attendance at tonight's meeting, as well as anybody who provided comments. Once those meeting minutes are distributed, that will conclude the community meeting process. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jim so he can say a little bit before I open it up for question and answers.
Thank you, Courtney. Just to introduce myself, I'm Jim Kraft, Elm Street Development. We're the developer who's filed the application for this project. We're a privately held real estate development firm out of Northern Virginia that have been operating in Anne Arundel County for over 40 years. I've been with the firm for 21 years myself. We've done a fair amount of work in Anne Arundel County. Just to let you all know where we are in the overall process, Courtney did a great job of talking about the technical components of our application. But we are at what's called the conceptual or sketch plan phase of the development plan process, which is the very, very beginning of the development review process. And depending on county review staff and such, that process can take 12 to 18 months to complete. That's the first step of a three-step overall process to complete subdivision of Anne Arundel County. So again, we're just at the beginning phase. The second phase would be what's called a final plan review, and that typically takes 12 months, give or take. And then beyond that is the final component, final piece, which is subdivision plat and obtaining a grading permit. So, roughly speaking, from where we sit today, we're every bit 24 or more months out from anything occurring on the site. But this is our initial conceptual plan that was filed. And again, Courtney went over the purpose for tonight's meeting, which is to talk specifically, an overview of the project and speak specifically about some of the environmental impact. So, that's been a lot of information absorbed, I'm sure, but we're happy to take any questions that y'all have and chat for as long as we need to.
Is there any chance this is not going to happen?
I'm sorry?
Is there any chance this isn't going to happen or it's already a done deal?
Well, I mean, nothing's ever a done deal. Like I said, we're at the conceptual plan phase, so we have to file a plan that aligns with the code and goes through rigorous review. So will what you see here be built? Hard to say. I would say that 9 out of 10 times what we initially submit is not what's finally approved, because you go through several machinations of review with the county. So it's not a done deal. This is the first step in the process.
What about the eagle's nests that are there? Has anybody looked into that?
From our analysis, there is no eagle's nest on this property. The eagle's nest is outside of the boundary of this property.
No, it's not.
Okay. So,
traffic studies.
Yes.
Are they going to be needed? Because how many homes were you looking at putting in here at this initial plan?
What's shown here is roughly 1,900 homes.
Yeah, I think even though that's
and
the same route,
and
that road
and
is not going to be able to sustain them.
There's also a retail component. So.
Right. That road already is horrendous with traffic.
Sure. But to answer your question, though, specifically, yes. Every project that goes through subdivision needs to conduct a traffic impact study, which this project is in the middle of doing now. So we don't have the final results of what that study is. We do anticipate some road improvements being necessary and to accommodate the project, but that study is under review by the county right now.
When do you expect to have that study completed?
Well, we submitted the study, it's under review, so.
So the draft study has already been completed?
The study has been drafted and is under review by the county, so it's been, a draft has been complete. It's identified some areas of road that need to be mitigated to account for the subdivision, but it's not finalized.
But the study itself has been done.
Study has been completed and filed with the county.
And my last question before I kick it over to the other people.
Sure.
What are the access points into the community?
Well, the primary access point is what would form a fourth leg at Forest Smallwood and Marley Neck Boulevard, which is currently a signalized intersection.
Okay.
So it would add a leg to that signalized intersection. That's a primary access point. There's a secondary access off Kembo Road right here. And then there's a third access that's just a right in, right out on Forest Smallwood right here. Because this,
and there's mostly one up top too for that little area up top, correct?
There's two access points for this one right here on Kembo. So three on Kembo, primary access here, and then an access
four.
Point.
Okay, so four.
They're gonna put a school in there. Building a school in the area, that's gonna be a lot of kids.
Yeah, no,
Schools are already overwhelmed.
You're absolutely right. We have to test for school seats, and our project can't proceed unless there is school capacity. So that's one of the key tests. You know, it's traffic, schools, stormwater. Those are all key tests that we have to test for in the subdivision process. So if there needs to be school expansion or if there's a capacity in there, project can't proceed. Yes, ma'am.
Why wasn't it designed to have less impact on the wetlands?
It's homes.
I know it's about money, but I'm saying, couldn't this have been redesigned not to impact so heavily on the wetlands?
Well, I think what Courtney was trying to explain was that it was designed to minimize impact on the wetlands. Because this site is bifurcated by these two drainage areas, you can't get to this without a crossing here. And you know, historically there was a crossing here, so we're trying to stay within the limits of what was historically there. Aside from that, there are little quadrants where these purple dots are, where we need to cross for utilities and other things for the project to accommodate its development footprint. So we've stayed out of the key environmental areas, and we're trying to minimize the impacts on only the critical areas that we need to.
What about the beavers on that property? Have they already been eradicated?
No, we haven't eradicated any beavers.
Okay, because there is a whole colony back there.
I'm sure, yeah.
Been back there for decades.
Yeah, I think there's a fair blockage in this culvert pipe. Yes, sir.
So where you have your utilities crossing, you mentioned doing repair work, but the utilities, since it's underground, still require no trees on it, everything else. So how are you going to return that to a wetlands thing?
So some of those, a lot of those impacts we would anticipate to likely be directionally drilled, so there wouldn't be significant clearing there. Now, if the county ever had to come back in, a lot of these crossings will be public utilities. They would potentially clear those areas, but you know, the reality is that a lot of those spaces sort of naturally regenerate unless somebody is maintaining them regularly, which sometimes happens and sometimes doesn't. The idea is that they wouldn't be a permanent impact like a building or a road. It was something that has the opportunity to naturally regenerate.
So speaking of there a homeowners association, or is there an overall association that is going to be required to maintain the public areas left over from this subdivision?
Without any public infrastructure, much like the public roads around here, those are DPW or Anne Arundel County responsibility to maintain. Any private infrastructure in the project would be the homeowners association.
So all the roads in here are public roads?
They are not all public roads, no. Only the main access road right now is contemplated as public. Actually, For most townhome subdivisions in Orland County, they must be served by private roads. So that burden is by the HOA and the residents that live there for maintenance.
Was there an overlay that showed the 1,000-foot critical area setback lines?
The critical area does not extend onto the majority of this property. A small portion of this finger here does clip within the critical area, but the area where we've been speaking with these proposed disturbances is not within the critical area boundary.
It's within the 100-year floodplain, and it's not within the critical area.
Yeah, so it's not within a 100-year FEMA floodplain. This is a county-designated floodplain. It's actually under review now. Our engineering team prepared a floodplain study. We looked at cross-sections and drainage to the site to delineate a floodplain that is being reviewed by Anne Arundel County right now.
So do you anticipate having to raise the elevation of any of these properties to get them above a floodplain?
Everything we're designing is currently above the floodplain. It's out of that floodplain area.
Above the study floodplain.
The study floodplain, yes.
And is there any, with all the residences here, is there any public area for kids to play?
Absolutely. I mean, as planned, and when you come up, and I encourage you to take a closer look and happy to answer questions, but I think we're at, what was our open area percentage? It was...
We were like 400%.
Well,
that
you mentioned
was
open area.
Boulevard, that, that was promised for Monument Boulevard and Nuncial Place. I went on the bus trip in Virginia to see the development that they were going to build up there.
For open area or for retail?
There was
supposed to
be ball fields for the kids. There was just... building,
yeah,
and the housing, different. You tell us these things and they never come to fruition.
Well, I understand your frustration, and certainly we weren't part of that discussion, but we understand there's history in this area where there have been previously planned retail amenities and other things that have never come to fruition. It's important to note this site is zoned MXDN, which Courtney explained. That zoning requires, like, we can't just build homes. We have to incorporate other uses. I can't speak to what's happened in the past, but I understand why you might be frustrated.
But the past isn't far away.
You're tearing down all these trees.
The past isn't that long.
Around here is rampant, and the more trees they keep cutting down, the worse that's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I had a father die from cancer, a mother die from cancer, a grandfather and a grandmother died from cancer. My father just recently. I was here a long time ago, but waiting for the fact that I had to take care of them. And now I'm too old in my body to do better. It's just getting too overwhelmed. It's getting ridiculous.
I have a couple of comments to make. I have filed my concerns with the Maryland Department of Public Works. I'm a resident of Stony Beach, which is the closest community to this area. Side of Brandon Shores. I am a member of the MPA Cox Creek Citizens Oversight. I'm very familiar with the Swan Creek Conservation Area. I object to it being called non-developed. So first of all, MPA has worked extremely hard to curate the area that we see at the top of the map as a conservation area, and they have given many tours and shown the unique wildlife that lives in this area. Moreover, this area is extremely unique because it is a freshwater marshland. We have almost no freshwater marshland. The area in Curtis Bay is almost entirely industrialized, and this is like one of the last bastions of wildlife and forest in our area. The diagram that you're showing, it is impossible to preserve the marshland with that much development. You're impeaching on, you talk about stormwater drainage, but this is not drainage. It's not a drainage area. It's a marshland. You can see it on the map. I've got a map of the way it exists now if anybody wants to look at it. So this is unacceptable as it's shown. Perhaps it could tolerate a small commercial area right on Fort Smallwood Road. But when you're going back into this area of marshland that is one connected marshland to the Swan Creek marshland, you are endangering not only the area you're building on, but the Swan Creek Conservation Area behind it. So that's unacceptable. Secondly, this area is completely surrounded by legacy and active polluters. I also showed them on my map. So it would be unhealthy to develop this community until the polluters are brought under control. Future for Brandon Shores and Wagner is uncertain right now. It's been delayed to be shut down. The medical waste incinerator is within hundreds of feet to the left of this map. MPA plans to build a dredge recycling facility up in the upper left-hand corner of the map. We have the two power plants, one coal, we have a sewage treatment plant, and that's all right within this area. Completely inappropriate. I've lodged my concerns with the state. I hope others do as well.
Two questions. This land here, is it being, it says Brandon Shores, and everybody assumes Brandon Shores of BG&E. Is this Brandon Shores property that is being sold, or CSX?
So this land was Legacy B&O Railroad that became CSX on the property.
Now my question to that is, with this being built, future plans down the road is Brandon Shores, the power plant is being torn down, it's going to be nothing. Are you guys eventually doing this to get your foot in the ground to come over to the right side and build even more? Is that a future plan? Everything, because all that to the right is going to be torn down and how many years coming. Will that be eventually turned in? So you're saying 1,900 homes there, that's 300 acres right there. That's probably four. So probably add another 2,500 you could fit on that side. So you're looking at 5,000-6,000 homes if you guys decide to cross over to the power plant.
I'd rather see it occurring by the power plant because that land has already been ruined in terms of conservation. We should conserve what we have.
So we have no interest in the
power
plant.
It could be future developed by someone else.
So when this region went through comprehensive rezoning, the power plant itself, and I think based on what you're saying, the ultimate desire for this area is that the power plant gets shut down and becomes something better. And I think there's a mixed use plan land use overlay on that power plant parcel to encourage that in the future. And that was part of the reason why this site was rezoned, because it was also heavy industrial W3, much like this property and this property. And with the power plant getting a different zoning for future development, it made sense to do a residential, less intrusive zoning. I know this is the first you're seeing in the trees today, versus heavy industrial. So, I mean, that's the history on how this came to be over the last few years. But no, we don't have an active interest in the power plant site.
Are the residents going to be informed of the smell that goes on there?
I mean, we're having a public meeting now.
The potential buyers of those homes, are they going to be informed that's there?
We have to do an environmental assessment of the whole site. So whatever is discovered, whether it's in the ground or in the air, it's disclosed to any future resident.
Can I ask what community
the two
of you live in?
Why? I mean, I'm a lifelong resident of Anne Arundel County. I've been here my whole life.
Would you live there?
I mean, we're developing it, so yes, I would live there.
You would live there?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You said there's going to be approximately 1,900 homes built on the property.
Yep.
Okay, I just came down Martin Head Boulevard the other day. I jotted down the names of the developments, went online, and are close to 4,000 homes. Right now I'm on Martinet Boulevard. Okay. I live off of Nash Creek Road and Solly Road. They've got that development going there, maybe 200 homes there. And you're talking about another 1,900 homes up in this.
5,000 more on Solly.
On Solly?
Between Solly and Marley. 5,000 more have been
this is just getting out of hand. I mean, up this development. It's gonna happen.
Oh no, not necessarily.
Again, if you have to, you cut the residents in half. 1,000 homes. I know you're not, you know, these builders, everybody's got the big bucks and they're gonna do what they wanna do. You know, but I mean, just up in this end of the county, it's the home, right within a 5 mile radius of that.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, Fort Smallwood Road cannot accommodate that.
In the
I mean, are you expanding Fort Smallwood? Are you widening that roadway?
All roads that connect to the site need to be tested as part of the traffic impact study.
You said you've already done that.
No, we submitted the study, so we don't know the final scope of what the road improvements are yet, because state highway needs to review it, and also Antelope County DPW and IMP roads needs to review it.
And there is nowhere to expand.
Well,
but there's.
It depends on where the exact failures are, which will be determined by the study. So yeah, in some circumstances, there's not adequate right away, but you know, in other circumstances, there are. So.
And there are eagles on that property. They are nest. They are breeding eagles, and from what I understand, they need a minimum of a 600 foot radius.
Okay.
That's not on your map.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't map eagle's nest, but we haven't found them from our analysis, and
okay.
We're happy to identify them if they're there.
They are.
What about the sewage treatment?
Sorry, yes, ma'am.
What about the sewage treatment facility in Handle?
So this site, because it's down gradient, has a small lift station that would pump sewage up to Forest Smallwood Road, and that's how it would get sewage, which would flow down ultimately to
Right, but I mean, can Cox's Creek handle other 2,000 homes?
Well, I don't know the exact answer, but we have to submit, just like for traffic, we have to submit a study and plans into the county where DPW reviews the capacity of the treatment facility. And if there isn't room, there isn't room. If there is room, then the project can move ahead. So that's one of the key tests. So traffic, water and sewer, schools,
yes.
All the key adequate public facility tests. Are a component of our
Why
plan.
Wouldn't you do those things first before even coming up with a design plan?
So those tests are run by the county, and the beginning of when we make that, when those that initial sketch plan application goes in, that's what triggers the county running those tests. So if those any of those tests fail, the project doesn't move forward unless it can be addressed. So that's it's a county test. We don't run the test. We don't determine the results. It's a county-run test that's triggered by an application, such as
the county won't review the test unless you make a formal application.
I think what she's getting at, though, is you're going to start construction on this before those improvements are actually implemented. I think what she's asking is for submit the application to the county, have them tell you what improvements need to be done. Those improvements need to be done prior to building anything.
No.
Because that construction is going to cause much more, it's going to cause other issues, right?
Yeah, I mean,
in that area.
I'm not aware in the
yes.
process.
Especially the infrastructure.
I'm not aware in the process today how we would be able to get permits for housing units without putting the required infrastructure for our project in first.
I've just seen it in this county, and Courtney, you know, I've spent like several meetings with you. I've seen several of these communities where infrastructure updates get done last. And that is complete. And I know Elm Street has very little power over that. But we need to make sure of that.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we're not just doing the bare minimum. The bare minimum is, you know, for safety, you and I have talked about street lifts, right? If, you know, if there's room to do 18 feet instead of 17 feet, that's going to benefit the community.
Right.
And I bring that up because we've had this issue in Cambridge Springs,
yep.
down Marlin Neck Boulevard,
yep.
where we've had to fight to get adequate parking because IMP will say we have enough parking for all those residents in that community. You go talk with the police and they'll tell you, no, you absolutely do not. So there's a difference of opinion there. But my, I think what she's asking is for some of these infrastructure updates to actually be implemented, maybe not first, but very early on. Because that'll make the lives of those community members who buy in there early that much better.
Understood. Yes, sir, back.
Now, like you said, the commercial building there, and Cotel, what he's saying, Tanyard Springs was promised like a Starbucks grocery store,
yes.
A bar, like it was supposed to be, and
yes.
It's literally flat land. And now they're building the parks. Now they finally are building one ball field. And there, is there anything proposed on what commercially is going to be in there? Is it going to be restaurants, grocery stores? Is it just going to be a story? You know, is there anything planned for what would be put in there?
Yeah, so the two-part answer to your question. We weren't involved in Tanyard Springs, I understand.
No, yeah,
there's some history there and some frustration, but that property is zoned totally different than this property. This property is zoned mixed use, which means you have to mix uses.
Okay.
So we can't just say we want to do all residential and forget about all the other uses. We just never get our project approved.
Okay.
So from our understanding of the area, we are proposing some retail here. We've got a footprint for a grocer right here, inline retail and a couple pad sites. You know, there might be fast casual restaurants or things like that that we think people have been wanting in this quarter, but just have never been built. Now, retailers typically say, we want to see some rooftops before we come in and build a big old grocery store. So we're holding a placeholder for that. That's what we think would be a good fit and complement the use here. But we can't just ignore that this property is zoned mixed use and could have an ancillary zoning use to residential.
To go off what he said, though, about Tanyard Springs, that was zoned commercial.
I think it's W1 or something.
No. There was a portion that was commercial.
Okay.
And it got moved to residential. So you can't tell us that down the road, if you guys can't sell that as commercial, don't tell me that you can't get that rezoned.
Well,
after the fact.
I can't tell you it's not impossible. What I can tell you is that
the regional plan
was just done. Like this whole area was just evaluated for zoning and usage. It would be at best 10 years before anyone would say, okay, from a county perspective, maybe we should change some zoning somewhere. It's just not viable to go back and rezone the property now. So has something like that happened in the past? Maybe, but that's certainly not our plan and it's not feasible to pursue anything like that now. So we think it's the ultimate zoning of mixed use is appropriate.
Would be all townhouses?
No, sir. Right now we're showing a mix of some multifamily, some townhomes, and some single family. So a mix of product.
When you say multifamily, duplexes?
No, I mean apartments.
How much of that property is commercial compared to residential? Are we talking 90, 10, 95, 5, 99?
I mean, I think the grocer box somewhere around 60,000 square feet, and then how many acres would you say set aside for?
5 acres?
Yeah. Between 5 and 10 acres for the commercial.
So you're gonna have rental properties in here, apartment buildings?
It'll be like Creekside, is what I'm hearing. Creekside, building down Marley Down.
Creekside had multifamily rental with
right.
some townhomes. This
and
has some multi. This has right. This has some multifamily and some townhomes and some single family detached.
So does that 1,900 include the apartments?
It does. Yeah. It's
so how many townhomes are you forecasting based on this diagram right now, and how many apartments?
I mean, roughly the apartment unit mix is somewhere around 300, give or take.
Okay.
You know, we probably have a couple hundred singles and the rest would be townhomes. But, you know, a concept plan, we don't have the exact mix finalized yet.
Right. I mean, that's what you're...
That's roughly...
A rough estimate of what you're looking at.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right. Well, I want to thank you for being here. How close is this property to the pollutants surrounding it? Have the medical waste
facility. Have you measured how close that is to this facility?
Oh, there you go.
You'll see the purple smoke.
See all the red boxes?
The short answer is, I don't have that information on hand today. It's not part of the required study, but I can, this is the Marlin Neck,
Business Park.
Right. So, I mean, that is across the street from, this is Kembo Road, so this property is across the street from that complex. I'm not familiar with the exact location of, you said pollutants, but how would you define that exactly? Like, what is...
Is there a specific building?
You have all this area of pollutants right here, right around, surrounding it. We're talking about not less than a mile. And put people at risk? I mean, I'm not you intentionally. I'm not saying you. People, but we have a big problem around here. Have the soils been tested?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the process of studying all that, so all the environmental tests need to be.
And Anne Arundel County is okay with this?
Well, they're reviewing the plans, so we have to, a soils review would be done by Maryland Department of Environment, so that's something that we're pursuing in tandem with our plans with the county.
And then with the structure, and I'm sure you have all the precautions that's going to be made for the runoff going into our Patapsco River, shared to everybody around here.
But before we would start construction, we would need to submit a separate set of plans. We were talking about the three-step process before. The third step of that process is a grading plan, which governs how you would do the construction on the site. Make sure the protective measures are in place to prevent sediment runoff and things like that for construction. So we're at the very first step. That would be done much further down the line, but certainly is something that we take into account.
Because our infrastructure, even with our wastewater management, there's only so much poop we can take.
We have to study that. So
right.
If they can't take any more, then we can't proceed. So this all flows to Cox Creek, and we run what's called a swamp analysis through Department of Public Works, which takes the number of units that we're planning, and they run it through their computer system and all their financial modeling to make sure that there's capacity available. If there isn't, then we can't proceed.
Do you have any estimation of impervious area that's been by the development of the site as a percentage of?
I don't think we have that figure up.
Area?
I don't have that figure up. Yeah.
Obviously, nothing about tree covers or anything else, heat island effect or anything else is.
According to step through the tree cover piece, so there's requirements that we have to meet in terms of preservation and retaining.
You talked about off-site stuff.
Well, there's what's required to keep on site, and we're doing more than that. And then there's also a provision that allows for off-site planting, but we're also doing on-site planting. So the code is very prescribed. You have to follow those rules in terms of clearing and planting, and this project takes those things into consideration.
And in addition to those, what Jim is speaking specifically to is the forest conservation and reforestation requirements, as well as mitigation for specimen trees. In addition to those requirements, or landscape requirements, the county has residential plantings, parking lot plantings, buffer plantings. So they're, in addition to retained forest and planted forest, there's also more ornamental landscaping that will also be proposed.
So what we're seeing here reflects those requirements?
No, this right now is more of a
In terms of layouts.
Well, this
obviously you don't have the trees figured out yet.
Yeah, this is
in terms of size of area and layout, that you're confident that you that or whatever doesn't get paid for off-site. Is that the...
This is a conceptual rendering that intends to convey what we intend to build, and by virtue of that, we would have to be able to comply with all those sections of the code. So on-site planting, off-site planting, and then all the landscape buffer and building plantings that need to be installed that you won't see at this scale. all of that would have to be taken into account. Yes, sir.
So out of all this land, the 1,900 homes in the commercial area, what is the percentage of homes on that land on that parcel? 50%, 70%,
80%? Well, I think the open area number is how much?
I think we had 206 acres.
The reason I'm asking is because now you just said that if you build these homes, okay, and you're going to base on going to commercial, you know, places based on what people want, like if they restaurant or that. Now, what happens if they say, oh, no, we don't want to do that? Is it going to be, are the buildings already going to be built for future use, or is it going to be flat land? Because what if they say, no, we don't want to, it's not accessible and not feasible to put commercial in? Are you going to throw up another 1,000 homes on that proposed commercial area?
We can't
do commercial anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not a sell point, but we can throw another 1,000 homes on it.
Well, I mean, there's a few answers to your question. So, again, this is called mixed use neighborhood. Mixed use means that you have to mix uses. So, our intent is to do commercial or retail type commercial in this quadrant. I'm not aware how under this zoning condition,
will they be pre-built, or is it going to be flat land? Is it going to be like, okay, we're putting these buildings here, there's going to be structure here for a restaurant company or somebody to come in, or is it going to be just flat land, and then it's going to be built after the fact, or is it going to be pre-existing buildings?
It's going to be like, what is the process?
Water or flat land until it's decided to be commercial?
Well, it's being decided what the use is now. Right, but the ultimate user, whether it's, I don't know, making it up, a Giant or a Safeway,
yeah,
or whatever, can't tell you that now because it's way, way too early, right? But there isn't a scenario with the current zoning that we could say, we'd like to delete all the potential retail and just stack in a few more houses. That we wouldn't be able to get a plan approved. So we have to come in with a retail use. Now, mixed use neighborhood, MXDN, allows a variety of retail components, so that it gives you flexibility in what your retail component could be. So, for example, if we think a restaurant would be wonderful here, but for some reason we can't get a single restaurant user in the door, maybe it's not a restaurant, it's a different type of retail. You know,
okay.
That's the type of flexibility that's built in that mixed use section of code, but it does not give us the ability to just say, we'd like to make this all residential.
So there's no more, so that 1,900 is like the threshold, like you're stopped at 1,900 homes.
So the maximum number of units is based on the pure zoning of the property. We could put on this property is over 4,000. There's no way we would ever come close to that. So when we go through the three-step process I mentioned, the county goes through a very rigorous review for compliance with the code. So it's not unreasonable to assume that we might lose some units along the way, or the configuration might get massaged a little bit. So we're not capped at 1927. That's what's planned today. We don't intend on losing the retail and putting in residential, because we can't go 100% residential on the site.
Just talking about the roadway, trying to support the homes, the apartments, but now temporary visitors for the residentials. I mean, for the property.
Whatever.
That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to go through the traffic study, because if it doesn't, if the road can't handle it.
No, there's no way. The road can't handle what it's got now.
The Anne Arundel County schools are adequate.
They're all risks that we have to take.
Right.
We have,
I understand.
And so it would be great if we could come into the county and say, we'd like all the answers first. But it doesn't work that way. We have to make the application to test for all these things. So we don't know the answer until we submit our application. And part of the application process, when we have these impacts, is informing you all of what's going on. So
I think
we're going through the required.
If you have enough money, you can get yes to all the answers to all of the tests. Correct.
Well, I don't know that that's the case.
I think we all know that is the case.
I don't know that I'd ever see that.
So you can run all the tests you want. Now, would him and I get the answer yes to any tests that we wanted to run for our property? No. But if you are a builder and developer, the answer is going to be yes to all the traffic studies and the sewage and gutlets would all be yes. We know that.
Sure. Hey, I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying, but you're entitled to your opinion.
We've seen it.
Yes, sir.
So you said the traffic study was done, it's under review. The environmental study, is that under, is that currently being done? Or what's the status of the environmental study?
Which environmental study?
Any, all?
Yeah.
So, there's no environmental study that's required as part of subdivision review in Anne Arundel County. So we perform environmental studies on our properties by matter of course in doing comprehensive due diligence on a property. So this property used to have a rail line here. So for all those reasons, we do soil studies and environmental studies, and we collaborate with the Maryland Department of Environment for that. That's not part of subdivision review. The other part of environmental studies are studying the forest, studying the wetlands, studying the streams. Those are all things that Courtney initially talked about in detail. So those studies are part of subdivision review and under the purview of Anne Arundel County.
So the county does not care about the soil testing and things like that. That's just something that you that Elm Tree is doing. I don't know any way to say it out of the goodness of your heart.
No, it's not. Listen,
my point is it's not required by the county.
Well, I see what your point is, but it's not accurate to say it that way. So we can't just buy a property and put houses on it if the soil is bad. Right? We couldn't get financing from a bank. We couldn't get a builder to buy a house. It just wouldn't work. So it's not out of the goodness of our heart. It's out of due diligence to do what you need to do to build a subdivision in a correct way. Like it would be frivolous and absolutely incorrect to build a project that way. You wouldn't get very far. Right? So that's the two paths for environmental studies.
Okay. My last comment right now is I am worried about the disturbance to the wetlands. The floodplains. I bought my house in Canyon Springs back in 2014. That was the year, and I don't know how many of us in this room remember, that is the year that North Anne Arundel County got 10 inches of rain in one day. Nope. There wasn't even a hurricane. It was a stuck system over lumbering season. My worry is with all of this, a lot of that's going to flood. All the changes that we're making to a wetland area that's already, I mean, how far up above the wetland are we currently?
So let me unpack your multiple comments and questions. We have to comply with the state and local regulations for stormwater management. That's changed from a lot of your examples pertain to a community we know nothing about and have no experience with. So apologies that you had a special time there.
Didn't
work out as planned, but we have to comply with the current code and the current regulations, and that's what we intend to do. Have there been abnormal rain events that nobody can control? Yes, but that's why these regulations continue to evolve and change to take those environmental matters into account. We don't control that. We just do what we can to meet and exceed the regulations from a stormwater management perspective, and that's what we intend to do.
Thank you. So I guess I'm a little concerned that our councilman, Volpe, here all are concerned. I would strongly suggest that everyone in this room with the concern.
They can talk to me, actually, before you leave.
Sorry?
You can talk to me. I'm here on his behalf.
Oh, wonderful.
I was actually going to stand up and say something before you leave.
Wonderful. Thank you.
May I?
Yeah.
So I'm Sarah Gannon. I'm here on behalf of Councilman Volpe. I'm actually incognito a little bit, but I'm here on behalf of Councilman Volpe. I have been listening to your concerns. I'm concerned also. I live here in the district. I've lived here my whole life. So I've seen the changes of this area. They are here to do their due diligence. As I am myself, and I know you are too. So you giving them your comments is very critical now and in the next 14 days. So get those comments in now. Don't wait. Get them in.
So should we copy these?
Yes, please. Send them to us. Send them to that comment period place that has been mentioned.
Also, I have also taken some notes because I'm checking into some things also. I'm also checking in, you had mentioned the zoning and comp rezoning of the power plant. I'm not sure I'm checking into that.
Well, it's not rezoned. It was changed to a planned land use of mixed use. That means in the future, mixed use zoning could be considered for it. So that was part of the Region 1's regional planning process.
Well, I'm checking in to that comp rezoning because we just did comp rezoning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm checking into that piece. So
sure.
Just texted Nathan and asked him to look into that for me.
Okay.
So he's looking at that, and I've also had him looking into a couple other things. So he's got homework. So just know that I am here. Nathan is aware of this project. Not to mention, there are a bunch of other projects going on in this area. Our district is getting slammed with development right now, and Councilman Volpe is well aware of it. So please know that if you have any concerns, I'm going to leave my cards over there on the table. I have been at some meetings in the area here with some developments coming up. He has been also, and I actually have been watching some other videos. If I've not been able to make it, I've been watching videos from previous meetings. So I have been well aware of what's been going on in the area. So please reach out if you have any questions and let me know. My cards are over there. So I didn't mean to hijack your meeting.
No, please. No, that's great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So the top part, that's all critical area. That's not going to be touched, right?
Up here.
Up here, yes.
Yep.
Now, that far right side is CSX Railroad property to the left. There's a little parcel to the far right. That
this?
Right there.
Yes.
The CSX Railroad that reaches there.
Yes.
Is there anything future that they want to go off and go through that critical? Since CSX is going to own this area, selling that, are they going to eventually want to sell that parcel?
No, so and Courtney mentioned it, and we didn't spend
and
a lot of time.
CSX has a piece of property.
Yes, there's an appendage of land that goes
yes,
out to the water.
Accessible
and
for people to walk through.
Yeah, so the idea is to make it accessible for people to walk through and get to the water. That was
okay,
part of it.
So you're going to go through a critical area.
Yes, yeah, I mean, that's, but we have to meet the critical area rules and regulations to do anything like that. And that's really something that was baked in the regional planning process where folks wanted to have ability to walk down the water.
Now, why is
so
that on this map, though? Why is it, no, I said, why isn't it?
It's on the map right here.
Yeah, this is part of
the
it's a little challenging to see from that distance, probably.
Well, what I'm saying is that I just can't see the outline that that's a future thing.
It's part of the project.
Yeah,
okay.
Right now it's shown as like a small drive back to an area where you can access the water. But
so you have to go through under the power lines to get to it.
That's correct, yes. I think,
yeah,
pretty sure
the
power lines do cross, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, like Jim mentioned, this has to meet all the critical area requirements and restrictions on impervious area and clearing allowed critical area that this does not exceed.
Yes,
sir.
Back to the commercial. Is it independent commercial area that we're building, or are we doing something similar to? I'm going to call it like some areas of Baltimore City, or I call it Bloomington Town Center, down by the Market Train Station, where you have commercial on the bottom and apartments up on the second floor.
Right now, it's shown as standalone retail or commercial. There could be a scenario where you do some residential on the bottom, but that typically doesn't work in this section of the county. You need those areas that you're discussing,
the
like the town center, where you're near transit-oriented development.
That's the term I was looking for.
Yeah, those tend to lend themselves better to
what
you're describing, but I don't foresee that here.
So you guys are not planning on having transit-oriented development type of commercial and residential. It's independent right now.
Not at this time.
It could change, like you said. But right now, you have independent commercial area in this project.
The commercial stands alone. It's buffered and separate and apart from the residential. The uses aren't mixed together in the same building.
What's the status of the individual properties? Are they being purchased by a homeowner, or are they, in effect, leasing the property from the developer for forever?
Now, as currently planned, The townhomes and single-family homes would be for sale to the ultimate homeowner, and then whatever rental units are there would be held by the apartment entity and rented.
Same with the commercial buildings?
The commercials could go either way. It depends on, you know, we want to attract the best user here. Sometimes those folks want to lease the land, which means that the developer would keep it. So sometimes they want to buy the land. So a little early to tell on that, but it could go either way on the commercial.
Yes.
Any of these environmental studies, will they include the impact on the animals and the creatures that live there?
So the environmental studies that have been performed, like Jim outlined, there's wetland, streams, and forest-related. The wetland and stream do not take into account any of the fauna that are within the area. There is also, I believe, a FIDS study, which I mentioned, the forest interior dwelling species, which is related to some of those bird species, bat species. So those, there is some level of assessment related to animal life with that FIDS study, but specifically.
There's an application that needs to go into the DNR for certain species, and that's part of the process.
So it's something referencing the animals that you disturb or displace or whatever.
I mean, between the two studies that we just mentioned, that's what would take those sorts of things into account.
The U.S. forestry industry says when you clear cut, 70% of everything dies, animal runs, because they can't regrow it.
Right.
So the other question I have, environmentally wise, is how are you going to offset your carbon from tearing down all those trees? Said something about reforestation off-site. Is there something there that says it's within a mile of this,
so
this you know, this property, or can it be on the other side of it?
On-site,
yes.
But my understanding is that the Anne Arundel County's off-site reforestation requirement just has to be within the county. I'm not sure where.
Every tree produces 275 pounds of oxygen a year. There'll be a lot of oxygen taken out of this area.
Yes.
And then the my other question there is really services. I know they talked about the sewage, and that's probably come up because of Northern Anne Arundel County has an issue right now. So, but the water, is water available there to supply?
So part of the swamp study, it's not the best name for a study, but that's a study that studies water and sewer capacity. We filed the same application with the county, a concept plan, and that checks not only the capacity at the sewer treatment plant, but also the capacity of the water system. So,
and I'm sure you're checking the capacity of schools, right?
Yes, yeah, it's water, sewer, roads, schools.
How about electricity?
Yeah, how about that?
That's a big thing. We've had a lot of rolling blackouts and brownouts in this area.
I mean, Maryland buys 40% of its power because it can't make enough. As disturbing it's going to be to most of these people here, power plant next door closes down, they'd expect their electric bills to double.
They already are.
They're going to double from where they are now. Anything should be re-locked into another power plant so that we have electric. It's already zoned. The infrastructure's already there for a power plant. And yes, I'm retired from the power plant.
Okay. Gotcha. As part of the subdivision process, to answer your question, there's no requirement for dry utilities or electrical gas studies. But we typically communicate with the dry utility company to see if they'll serve the property in the very beginning part of our due diligence. So we've gotten confirmation that they can serve the property. We don't know to what capacity, though. Until
Grand Tours, I think, is like the third cleanest coal fired plant in the nation. Heard about it.
Trees, would you say, are on that plot property, you know?
Like how much is the forest on the property?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fully wooded today, so it's, if you back out, I mean, it's 323 acres, I don't know how much is floodplain.
Yeah, that's hard to say. Yeah, part of that is obviously open water. I don't have that figure on hand, but it's probably in the high 200 acres of.
I just looked it up. It says a single mature tree can absorb over 8 pounds of carbon dioxide per year. That's one tree.
Yep.
In addition to CO2, one tree can remove roughly 10 pounds of toxic air pollutants, including dust, ash, and smoke. And that area is surrounded by all of this. That's one tree. And how many trees do you think are on that property? And how many?
I would be guessing that's really putting a hurting.
Kelly.
There, I understand your comment, but I would would say in response, we're not. This isn't proposed to clear all of the trees on site. There is still significant.
Right.
There's still
it looks
hundreds.
Like it's proposed to clear about, I don't know, 80% or
We are retaining approximately 20% of the trees existing. There is a reforestation. There's reforestation in addition to that that's going to be proposed. So new trees will be planted. I know it's not the same today, but it will be ultimately. That tree is going to be a tree that provides the same as a forest tree.
But you said
today.
Those trees will be planted somewhere else.
Not all of them. Yeah. As much as can be put on site will be planted on site. In addition to landscape trees that don't count towards that reforestation requirement, street trees. Trees in open space, you know, active recreation areas, trees within parking lots.
None of that's making me feel any better.
But one other. Make this all impervious surface, or are you going to be using different kinds of surfaces that would allow better drainage into this very special piece of land?
We haven't gotten that level of design of like pavement sections and such yet, but I would say, you know, we're very aware that we're near sensitive features, so we're open to ideas that take those types of procedures into account.
Are there going to be any meetings in the future? I'm sorry. Are there going to be future meetings on this?
We don't have anything scheduled at the moment, but we're happy to coordinate with Mr. Volpe's office if there's interest in having future discussions.
Definitely.
Sewer master plan. Some illustrations on the aquifers that is coming from to serve these areas. And this whole area is the recharge area for the aquifer. So by increasing the impervious area and increasing the likelihood of contaminants just back getting into the soil, we have some detriments to the environment. Plus the fact that, of course, as mentioned, you're tearing down hundreds of thousands of trees.
Another question?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate a lot of what others have said about the schools. The community, at least some of the communities that are in that girl, school right now, one feeder school. They used to be split. There were original plans to put a elementary school in Tainted Springs, right where they sell a lot for it, right by the park.
I'm looking into that too.
My fear is all these developments going in, and we don't have a plan for these students. Now, you guys could be on the hook to try to give some money to build a school. I understand that, but you guys in the county really need to think that, you know, 5 to 10 years down the road, when all those homes are built and occupied with, let's say, even 50% of those having at least one school-aged kid, or we're going to be back into the years where Sally Elementary had extra modular classrooms and trailers. That, let's be honest, is not the best way to learn. I did that in high school. It was not the easiest to learn in those. So,
where were these pump stations going to be? You said we're going to be up around where the power lines are, or you're more close to the road?
Right now, we have, it's only one.
Okay.
have to put it sort of in the lower part of the site. So that's where we're showing it today, but that's also going
to... Now, is that going to be a pumping station back to the one 2 miles up the road, or are they doing their own...
No, it would just go out to the existing interceptor force main out in Fort Smallwood, which then gets routed through the system over to Cox Creek.
The one, yeah.
Yeah. Which we're obviously testing the capacity of with our application.
Is this diagram on the website, Courtney, already?
This particular diagram is not it's a black and white variation of this, but it's the same layout. It doesn't have
I think it was just the site plan, right? Yeah. Can we get this posted?
The short answer is I don't think so. I'm not sure. The county regulates the website. We don't control what's posted on the website.
I'm asking why that. Because this is essentially a sketch plan, right?
But this is a concept plan that represents a sketch plan.
May I have your attention, please? The time is now 7:45, and the library will be closing in 15 minutes.
Because we have a sketch plan for every other development. We don't have a sketch plan yet.
If you're using our computers and plan to print, please begin that process now. The computers will begin to shut down in 10 minutes at 7:55. Thank you.
Courtney mentioned in her overview that because of the zoning and location of this project, it doesn't go through the typical meeting steps as a pre-submittal sketch plan meeting. So this is a meeting for the environmental modifications. So we're happy to share a copy of the site plan. It's just as part of the process through the county, this site plan wasn't uploaded, and you can't go back and, to our knowledge, we'll check, retroactively upload this plan. So we wanted to bring a nice, clear, big plan to the meeting for everyone to see. We're happy to try to get it on there. We just don't know if mechanically through IT if we can get it up there on the website as well.
I can answer that question. It's possible whether or not the county wants to allow it. I'm an IT guy. That's what I'm saying. Conceptually, it's possible.
We're happy to ask.
Policies.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
What precautions or safety measures are put in place for when that pumping station up there has a problem to prevent all the sewage from going out into the house? As you know, I'm sure you've heard, if you do live in Adirondack County, several problems with sewage, according to the water. What precautions?
Well, we can check out together, but there's no physical pipe that leads to the water out here. So if it were to overflow, these things are designed with multiple redundancy and backup, either generators or backup wells. So if you lose power, there's an emergency. They're designed to continue to work in an environmentally sensitive fashion if that were to happen. So even if it were to stop working, for whatever reason, a hurricane, natural disaster, I'm not aware of a way that it would just start going into the water. It's just not designed that way.
Typically, there's a main well where the sewage is piped, and there's a pump, pumps it up, force main out to wherever it's going. There's typically a redundant well, the exact same size. So that first well, which is the pump, is triggered before that well gets anywhere near capacity. So and that's done so that if there is ever a natural disaster or something happens, that well can fill up. Then there's a backup well that can fill up, and the design calculations are meant so that those should never fill before somebody can get out there and repair
it. So you promise that we won't ever get anything on the internet saying there's been a sewage overflow of whatever this development is going to be called.
I can't make you that promise, but the design is intended to prevent something like that. This is also a facility that will be public, that will be owned and maintained by Anne Arundel County DPW. So, the expectation would be that it's going to be maintained in working order, and that something like that should not happen. But
now these storm drain runoffs, are they going to run into these supposed ponds, or are they going to be tied in and dumped into something else?
So the storm drain, we didn't really get into stormwater management here.
Because the only reason I say it is you keep saying that these ponds, they're just runoff. It's just runoff like.
I didn't mean to imply that these are, I would call them.
Like I said, I know for a fact they are freshwater ponds. When I was a kid, me and my buddies would go in there, we'd catch 15, 20 pound bass in there. And we know that that's not just a runoff. And that's what I'm wondering, If you have storm drainage, where is the storm? Is the storm drainage going to go into them if you're saying they're runoffs, or is the storm drainage going to go into the four smaller area, Kembo area? Or is it going to drain into them?
So right now, everything on this site, the majority of the site drains into those two systems. And that...
So oil, grease, construction stuff would go into that?
No. So as part of the development, we're required to provide stormwater management. And what that means is much of the site as possible is going to be collected in these micro stormwater facilities. Most of these are going to be what they call micro bioretention. Some will be bioretention. They're essentially small, like rain garden type facilities. That will capture that
sediment pond.
Not a sediment pond. That's a storm. That's during only construction is a sediment pond. But these types of facilities are meant to capture smaller drainage areas, get the water quickly into some sort of a capture area, and then allow it to infiltrate into the ground. Now, those systems have overdrains so that if too much water comes in, it'll go into a storm drain system, and they have underdrains as well, so whatever doesn't infiltrate can get into the storm drain system, but it's intended to allow water to infiltrate. And these areas pick up drainage areas of half acre to an acre. So small drainage areas. We also have, in addition to that, stormwater management ponds. Those are the larger, probably seen them as you drive around. That will capture a lot of the excess from
but
those
nothing
facilities.
Nothing directly into that, like drains
That's,
going right
I'm gonna fit, there's, this is a multi-part answer. So a lot of those smaller facilities will drain to larger stormwater management ponds, where larger quantities of stormwater can be held during larger storm events. But ultimately, yes, all of those facilities and the storm drainage systems will discharge into these ponds in order to maintain that natural drainage system. The intent is that the water falling off the site will not inundate or exceed what's being discharged or what's draining into these facilities now. The idea is to try to mimic as closely as possible the natural drainage conditions now. So the whole site will ultimately outfall into these systems, but the intent is that it's in a safe, slow, non-erosive way. So I think we're getting kicked out, but thank you all for coming. I am gonna officially conclude the meeting. It is 7:52. Thank you all for coming out.